medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Kolos IS Support. Back with me this week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Haukuper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. So, Paul, you'll never guess what happened.
Well, not without any context. No, I guess not. I
mean, no, you won't.
The sun came up. I got that.
Well, yeah, that's true. It does pretty much every day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So yeah. I win.
No, you don't. No. Someone actually reached out to us with a suggestion at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org.
Nonsense.
I know. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I'm just curious how many ideas we've lost because people lose interest halfway through that email address.
Or they forget, they can't remember. Yeah. I mean, clearly it took 116 episodes for somebody to finally be able to piece together all of the letters to send us an email.
No. We've gotten a few other emails. Come on now. I know. No, and let's be sure. Let's be fair. But no, we got an idea, did we? All right.
Cool. We did. I'm excited.
Sweet.
Yay.
Woohoo. Keep them coming, folks. Exactly. I mean, we're not saying it was a good idea. We're just saying it was an idea.
Wow. Oh, man, oh, man. Sorry. And I promise it wasn't me emailing either.
From another
personal
email address. Oh, nice. Spoof ourselves. That's great. That's
fun. I know, right? Yeah.
So you're, what, 8 days away from another stroll through the woods, so to speak?
Yeah.
Over the hills and down the hills. Not even over the hills. It's down the hill.
This and, time it's down the hill. Yeah.
Yeah. Through the big sky, I hear.
Well, maybe a little south of Big Sky, but yeah.
Well, it's
I am in Montana.
Montana is the Big Sky state.
Sky. Mm-hmm. I was going literal there with Big Sky, Montana.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm a little literal sometimes, in case you haven't missed that. Damn. I know.
Nope. Are you excited? Feeling good? Feeling strong? Ready to go? Ready to rock?
Sure, bring it. Let's do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of just want to get it done because I kind of want to know how I'm going to feel.
Right. So if you feel good after this, is your coach just going to like line up another one in 6 weeks?
No.
She's
going to want, I think, a couple weeks down after this. And then I guess it depends. If I was maybe only going to run one more this year, she might. If I was going to do it in relative short succession. But she had originally talked about when you stack them, you kind of take a little bit of a break between the stacks. Mm. But I don't know how much yet. So I need to schedule a call with her. I've been a little busy and done that. Oops. I should get on that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, exciting times. Montana, here we come.
That's right. I'm going to go chase up some buffalo.
There.
For some bison.
If you end up in Yellowstone, stay in the car.
I will. Might be safer that way.
Yeah. I feel like every other day we're seeing some sort of bison chase in Yellowstone. It's not good.
I know.
All right. Well, this week we finish our conversation with Cindy.
We do. I know. I'm kind of bummed. I kind of want to have more conversations. I feel like we could just talk for another 3 hours with Cindy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, she was amazing. I mean, the first couple episodes, right? We understood stress. She helped us understand stress. And then, of course, last week it was about practical techniques or tactics to kind of manage that stress, handle that stress. So
yes, absolutely. Don't forget to relax your cheeks, all four of them.
All four of them.
Yeah, that makes me laugh for some odd reason whenever I think about it. So I guess that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Because laughter's good.
We talked about laughter being good. This week we talk a little bit about joy. You've got that laughter and why joy is probably underrated and the most underrated contributor to longevity. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. She kind of brings in another topic called the healthy mind platter, which I thought was pretty cool. So I'm excited to have people listen to that and understand how they can help reduce some of their everyday stress using their concept.
Yeah, it might be fun in focus to even pull the crowd and some of the takeaways that we have. Did anybody catch this episode? Did anybody apply any of the techniques? And how are their cheeks today, I guess? Or would that
right, did they relax them all? Yeah, but I'd have to phrase that differently.
Or how many of them are bored in their job and gave Cindy a call? I don't know.
Right? That's true. We do discuss boredom in your job and how maybe just jumping ship isn't necessarily it. Maybe it's the fact that you're just bored. Who knows? Right?
Need to be challenged.
How to identify that? Yeah. And I think one other topic that we really touch on is, especially, I guess, Cindy more so shares how leaders really need to rethink how we support neurodiverse populations. And I think that's important to highlight. Her one analogy was, for those that do have a physical disability, we don't expect them to build the ramp themselves. But yet we do seemingly do that for people that are neurodiverse. So
yeah, we touched on the neurodiverse mind several times in our mm-hmm. first episode, second episode, and we touch on it again today. And this whole thing starts with awareness and mm-hmm. being a little bit more conscious of what the neurodiverse mindset is, and you got to recognize it. So we have to start there with awareness. But great conversation, and really, again, so thankful for Cindy coming on, and hopefully we can get her for another set of episodes here in the future, because we didn't really finish the conversation.
I know, shocking.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
Well, with that, why don't we get back to our conversation with Cindy? Hope you all enjoy.
Enjoy.
The final thing I think is really, really important is to have some kind of healthy regime in your life. A walk every day, a nap, eating healthy. One of my favorite tools is called the Healthy Mind Platter, and it's by David Rock and Dan Siegel. You can look it up, the Healthy Mind Platter. It's got all the things, so, you know, sleep, downtime, playtime, dance time.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
The Healthy Mind Platter is so good. So if people are like, okay, I need some ideas, I'm going to get the picture of the Healthy Mind Platter. Yeah, do some dancing. There's so much science on how good dancing is for you for longevity. It's outrageous. So, you know, if you want to do a little dance in your cube, or I was cycling this morning, I was out this morning and I was like dancing while I was spinning, you know, it made me laugh.
In the middle of that marathon on July 4th, yeah, I think Chandra may remember it. I mean, at one point we came up on the half marathon point and a song came on and it just hit me. I wasn't dancing, but I was started to move and, you know, like you on the cycling. It's all like,
yeah,
what, you know, and people are like, what the, you're running a marathon, dude. What are you doing? And I'm like, yeah,
save hell, this is, you know,
I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Isn't this fun?
Yeah, exactly. Music can change the mood, man. Singing can change the mood. A little dancing,
dancing. Yep.
Those are some just fun things to think about. Yeah.
I wonder if that study is related to joy. Like these things that we do that you can connect to joy. Joy is the key to longevity, bar none. If you can find joy in your life and make that a priority, that is the key to longevity more than anything else.
Yep. Joy, laughter. We know that if we can keep our brain growing, okay, because our brain is neuroplastic, right? So it can continue to grow. And if we can keep our brain growing, then we will live longer. So if we can laugh more, learn more, dance more, find the positive, find the joy, accept what we cannot change, and really learn how to accept in our body, in our mind, that first level acceptance, and really get our stress level down, then we will live longer. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So those are some things when people come to me and they are in that stay or go, should I stay at my job? Should I change? I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with ADHD. I'm struggling with stress management, struggling with boredom. I have a client right now and she's choosing to stay in an organization, but she's bored. She's either bored or she's pissed. Like one of the two. Also, we did a values exercise, right? Like what's really important to you? What are your strengths? So what are those things that make you you, right? What's your unique promise of value here? Are you learning? Are you growing? So in coaching, there's like finding your criteria for happiness or wellness, right? And saying, all right, how can we shift our consciousness, our thinking, our perspective on that situation so that we're not so crazy stressed about it all the time? So we do that kind of a deeper dive into the stress management process.
This stuff is fascinating.
And that I explained it well to you guys. I hope you got it along.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a bunch of additional questions here and there. I'm like, oh, but like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, we can't get through everything. I got to like calm down. I mean,
we got part two.
Yeah, I was going to say we might need to have part two. I agree. There's a lot of other questions I have too. And I'm actually interested too from a perspective of having had people that are neurodivergent in my life as how can I help support that as a manager, as a leader, and as just a, in general person when I am aware. I just feel like when you're aware of those things and you have a better understanding of them, you can be such an advocate for someone and help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I just say one thing about that on the neurodiversity side? Because I think it's for neurotypical people. Okay, so if you have lost the use of your legs and you're in a wheelchair, you need accommodations.
Yeah.
Right? You need a ramp.
Yeah.
You need an elevator.
Right? Yeah.
The neurodiverse brain doesn't show you that it's lost anything from the outside, right? So if someone in your life identifies, we need to ask them, what kind of ramps do they need? And not assume that they're going to build it themselves. We don't ask somebody in a wheelchair to build a ramp. Mm-mm. But we ask neurodiverse people to build ramps all the time. When I work with neurodiverse people, when I teach organizations about neurodiversity, I explain all the brain science around it. But also, I really think we have to stop saying it's not a disability, because it is. There's definitely some different brain patterns, brain structures, brain chemicals with anything related to any kind of neurodiversity. And that could be OCD, dyslexia, ADHD, autism. Also, anyone that's had cancer, that changes the brain. COVID changes the brain. So we have to really start to say, how can we help you build that ramp? What can we do to build the ramp for you? What tools do you need? Because we forget, and I see it all the time, it's a disability.
If you're running JD Edwards, In Focus 2026 needs to be on your calendar. Join the JDE community September 21st through the 23rd in Denver, Colorado for 3 days of education, networking, and insights into what's next for JD Edwards. Get an early look at Release 27. Learn how Oracle is enhancing JD Edwards with Redwood. Explore AI enablement opportunities. And understand upcoming platform support changes that could impact your roadmap. We'll also be covering topics like orchestrations, automation, OCI, security, and modernization strategies from customers and Oracle experts. Early bird registration ends August 14th, so register now before rates increase. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. And join us in Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't ask those with a physical disability to manage it on their own and figure it out. But we do ask those, oh, you have ADHD. Okay. So what are you doing about that?
Yeah. Did you go see your doctor? Did you get some medication?
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I had a client that works for a big, large retailer, that's all I'll say, and could not get access to a tool to help her organize her information. It was her ramp.
That was the ramp she needed.
This company has enough money to pay for that ramp.
Having just gone through our annual compliance training about making accommodations and whatnot, I mean, it's resonating with me that that's not a category that they recognize as we need to make reasonable accommodations for folks to be able to do their job effectively and safely, obviously. And we've only considered, I know it sounds maybe as a blanket statement, but in the context of the conversation we're having, we've only considered the physical limitations mm-hmm. versus the mental limitations.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep. Extreme anxiety or extreme depression is also neurodiversity if it's not managed.
If it's not managed, yes.
Oh, yeah. I would 100% agree with that.
in our follow-up episode, we cover some of that. And the fact that we don't, Chandra, you and I have talked about this quite a bit. We don't educate on this growing up.
No,
we don't talk about mental health and
We don't talk about relationships and managing healthy relationships and all of these things that kind of interweave. Those are not, I don't know if you would call them skills, but we don't create that awareness and we don't create that understanding. It is not something that we learn. It's something that, hey, if we're going to invest the time like we are right now to have these conversations, to go through this, then we learn it. And then you just wonder why this isn't a basic survival, like what we talked about today, as far as managing stress and being resilient, that should be a basic survival skill that every kid learns growing up. This isn't something that should be the exception that you deal with as part of your midlife crisis, as or whatever it is, right?
Right, you know? Yeah. Or as being part of, you have maybe a breakdown, right? Because you don't understand how to name that emotion, how to identify what you're feeling, right? How to recognize what's going on in your own body and how to be able to reframe that, right? Into the positive. For me, that's what, I mean, I've been open about this. I had panic disorder in my early 20s, and I would never wish that on anybody to be in a full-blown state of panic round the clock for months on end. But man, did I learn a lot from it. Yeah. But had I been taught how to actually name what I was feeling as a child or understand and be able to notice it and focus on what I could control. Because I worried about everything because I felt like I had no control over anything rather than actually focusing on what I could control.
Yeah.
Which was more than you thought it was, by the way.
Right.
There are 100%. More things that you can control than you think you can.
There's a couple of things that I'll just say. One, the neuroscience research has come so far. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. We now know how our sensory systems work, how they feed into our body. And I could even talk more about like the gut health and the, you know, there's so much about with stress, right? We're just kind of talking about some of the main things to kind of help with stress management at work. But we've come so far in this idea of helping each other understand it because we've got the science to back it up now. So it's not the woo-woo anymore, right? A lot of things like mindfulness, meditation, yoga used to be woo-woo.
Yes.
The science. So we now have this beautiful science with some of what we Gen Xs might have called a woo-woo. Now, the other beautiful thing is my kids understand this. Like they're having conversations about their feelings because social media has opened this up, which is cool. My kids are 20 and 22, right? So now I don't know if they're learning how to name it to tame it, but they definitely have a lot more empathy. Maybe it's just my boys, but I don't think so. I think it's their generation. A lot more empathy because they've normalized like anxiety and stuff. I wanted to make sure to mention a really fantastic resource for anybody that listens to this podcast that is struggling. There is a therapist. Her website is Therapy in a Nutshell. And her first name is Emma. And of course, I'm going to forget her last name. So look up therapyinanutshell.com. Her YouTube channel is phenomenal. So anyway, you listen to this podcast, Therapy in a Nutshell, YouTube channel. She explains everything that I explained in short video clips.
Yeah, bite size, as she says.
Bite size, like what your system is doing, anxiety, depression, regulation, breathing. She is amazing. If you learned one thing from this and you want a deeper dive, go to her YouTube channel.
Very cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Anybody can get something from her YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
She does a really good job, hopefully like I did today, explaining what's going on and why, and then saying, let's do some breathing.
That's great. I love it. Talking about how you can change your brain.
I'm grabbing links and stuff.
I know, exactly.
We're going to add that into our show notes for sure. Absolutely.
Give her some credit. I've never met her, but when I have a question, she's one person that I go to. And if you just run a resource list, I'm happy to send one.
That would be great. By all means, please do. I mean, I got like 5 book recommendations out of this.
Yeah, I wrote a bunch down as well.
I did too.
That will force me to actually update my resource, my book list. So that would be good.
Yeah. So motivation to do it, right?
Yeah. The really cool thing,
get off 694 on the 494.
Yeah, when you're bored, dopamine will come at completion. So, you know, I'm like, okay, start strong. How do we start strong? And then how do we stay in the yuck until the end and get the dopamine? You remember how I started with let's notice our body? If you have a hard time noticing your body, you won't notice that you get that dopamine hit.
Yeah, I would say that's probably been accurate for me quite frequently, where I spend more time on 494 and I struggle to find 694.
Yeah, need to go
right.
On. Yeah, need to spend a little bit more time being bored, Chandra, and dreaming.
Yeah,
and on the ground in the grass. Go lay on the grass. Go lay on the ground.
So many places.
Get in touch with this. Reality.
Yes, there's got to be something to the whole thing too. That if you're on 494 and you're knocking off tasks, but you're still not getting that dopamine hit at all. And you're just on the wheel at that point, right? You're basically the hamster in the wheel.
I would say if you're on the hamster wheel, you have too much dopamine. You're way over. You're way in nasal.
Okay.
Hyper arousal.
All right.
If you're bored, you're hypo arousal. This has been fun, people.
It's been awesome.
This has been awesome. Thank you. I told Paul ahead of time. I'm like, I know we're going to get on with Cindy. And we're going to be like, is it over already? I have more questions. I have more. You know, like,
I have a time frame. I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah, exactly. You get a job. I mean,
well, it's my dad's 94th birthday today. So, exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The
number one. Something right. Right.
Obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. He's taken what you've said to heart. He's been good.
I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk too much about like the career transformation stuff, but I'm glad that we talked a lot about the embodiment and understanding the brain and stress, because really we can't, as humans, like we really will struggle to make any kind of positive change, even career change, if we don't get ourselves a little more level set and regulated.
I think that's actually important to note, that you have to regulate yourself first. You can't just hop. Right? It's easy to want to do that and think that's going to solve your problems, but it's really not.
Right.
Yeah.
Wish your father a happy 94th from us. All right.
Hi, yes, Dad. Exactly.
Happy 94th. That's
happy
awesome.
94th.
Thank you. And
great luck on the half Ironman track.
Half Ironman. Thank you.
And where is it in Wisconsin again?
Wisconsin and Madison in September.
It'll be Madison.
Madison.
Very cool.
Lots of good vibes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All heading
absolutely.
Your way.
We should probably wrap up quickly with a Midwesternism, although we kind of had one in this where we talked about 494, 694.
That might be good enough for you.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But I will cover quickly. The one that I had on for this week was Pearson's Salted Nut Roll. So this is, I guess, the company behind it is called Pearson's, which is located, I believe, still in St. Paul, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, over off of 7th, maybe, if that sounds right. I'm testing myself there.
No idea. That.
Yeah.
They do actually at some races hand them out afterward. As, you know, your post-race, I have received the little ones of the salted nut rolls at the end. The company was founded in, I think it was 1909. Originally, it was a confectionery distribution company, and it started to manufacture its own products in 1912. What they're famous for is the salted nut roll, which is basically salted peanuts that have some maple-flavored nougat and caramel. Yeah, that maple-flavored nougat, right? You take that and you put a little caramel and then you put the peanuts on it. And they're pretty yummy. So it's got that sweet and salt combination, which, of course, for me, I do really enjoy. So there you have it. There's your Midwestern candy or confectionery.
So is this one of those things that, like, when you go back to Wisconsin, you always pick up Spotted Cow, right?
Right.
You can only get Spotted Cow there, which is the beer. So when you're in St. Paul, you got to pick up Pearson's Salted Nut Roll because you're not going to get them anywhere?
You can get them outside of Minnesota, absolutely.
Okay.
They're probably not as common. You know, I should look now here in Colorado to see if I see them in the grocery store or whatever, or the gas stations, although I never go into the gas station unless I'm traveling and need to use a restroom. Now I just pay at the pump and leave, right? But I should check that out and see if they're actually here. And I don't recall if they were around in Florida either, but I do remember, like, my aunt and uncle lived in California, and we would send a box of them to them periodically, and they loved it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
I will watch for those. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on today. Thanks for sharing everything with us. We'll look for part two, like when we want to do the next time around. But between now and then, obviously, good luck with the Ironman. And Chandra, good luck with the marathon next month in a couple weeks.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Very cool.
Awesome.
You guys, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.